This message is brought to you by the 2011 Quality Professional of the Year Award. Nomination forms are due October 1st, 2010. Nominate yourself or a leader in the quality field dedicated to improving processes, reducing costs, and raising quality. Visit qualitymag.com to apply.
Hello, and welcome to QCast. I'm Maggie McFadden with Quality. Each year, Quality opens its individual awards program to a manufacturing professional that has demonstrated outstanding contributions to the quality profession throughout his or her career. Our Professional of the Year judges look for demonstration of leadership, achievements, service to the industry, and past awards. The 2010 Professional of the Year Award goes to D.H. Stamatis. Dr. Stamatis has more than 30 years' experience in management, quality training, and consulting in a multitude of industry sectors. He's an ASQC Fellow, ISO 9000 Lead Assessor, and is the President of Contemporary Consultants in Southgate, Michigan. Justin DeSandro of Quality spoke with Dr. Stamatis about his views on quality independence. He begins by explaining his thoughts on whether quality assurance should be independent of manufacturing and production.
It always has been, I thought. Otherwise, you have a fox in charge of the chicken coop. Yes.
What do you think would be a negative then if it weren't?
Well, the whole system of manufacturing, as it stands right now, and it has been, is based on productivity. So people get paid by the amount of pieces they produce or throughput that they produce. Quality does not play a role in it, generally speaking. There are some exceptions. The modus operandi right now in manufacturing is how many pieces can you produce? What is your throughput? If you have a quality part of that manufacturing mentality, you're not going to have a good measurement of what your true quality is. For example, you're going to have a rework, you're going to pass it through, but that's not your first through capability. So you're going to be manipulating numbers to make you look better than what you actually are. Where if you have an independent quality, and that independent quality has to report directly to the chief executive, you have a good chance of calling a spade, and an apple, and an orange. By the same token, though, I'm a fervent believer of quality begins at the source. So if I am the operator, I have to be responsible for what I do as well. Quality assurance is a referee. It doesn't produce anything. Only the operator produces. So whatever the direction that he has from his management and the integrity that he has for his own job, that's what counts. Unfortunately, there is an awful lot of quality departments and quality assurance, quality managers that are being used as a whipping boys, if you will, to the detriment of the whole quality, and that's unfortunate.
So what do you think is the worst-case scenario, then, of that?
The numbers look great, but the company is losing money. In fact, in some cases, companies have produced good reports for a long time, and finally they went belly up, bankrupt. Don't force me to name names, but I think all of us know them.
What's the point of making your numbers look good if it's not going to help you out in the long run?
It's called power. It's called influence. It's called prestige. It's called all sorts of things. If you look at the annals of even the Malcolm Baldrige Award, there are companies who actually have gotten the award, and two or three years later, they went bankrupt.
So what do you see, then, as some of the challenges that manufacturing is facing?
Honesty and integrity by both consultants, practitioners, and manufacturers or service-oriented organizations. Without honesty and without integrity of what we produce, we're not going to fare very well. Across the board, all the way from the politicians to the executives to everybody else.
What do you see as the most important qualities in a leader in manufacturing, then?
Tell the truth. If they can, then it's a matter of conscience. Do they stay there or they leave? Tell the truth, and either that or stoop in the job or take Malox. Those are the three options.
Looking at all of the industries that you have worked, how do you see or think that quality issues transcend the barriers of these industries going from, you know, Ford to Motorola to IBM?
They're exactly the same. The terminology changes, but in essence, they're all the same. And they use tools every so often as though it will be the panacea of the world. I'll give you an example. I wrote... Motorola actually came out with a notion of the Six Sigma, for example, okay, back in the 80s. Now, the notion of Six Sigma is nothing new. It's been around for a long, long time. Michael Harry, he commercialized it to the point where everybody now has to be a Six Sigma expert. But let me go back. In 2000, I was asked to write the other side of the positive things about the Six Sigma, and I did. I mentioned at that time, and I still hold true, And in fact, I will follow up with how I proved it. Six Sigma doesn't offer anything other than making sure that the executive board knows about quality issues and how that translates into the dollars on the bottom line. The tools and the process that they use, it's exactly the same. It has been in here since ancient times, from the pyramids to the Greeks to the Romans to the English to us. I got an awful lot of people who got very upset with me for saying what I said. And to prove my point, I think I am one of the authors that I have written more books about Six Sigma than anybody else, 9 in total. The reason why I'm saying that is not so much to push my book, but I want to show and I have demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that the tools that we use in the process is nothing more than what the Schuhart cycle is all about. But the fact of the matter is, nothing is changing. The integrity, though, how we identify the problems and how we report them and how we actually test them is what matters. How can we talk about, for example, GE, okay, as being one of the forerunners in using Six Sigma, and yet at their tip of their success, if you will, they were selling, their stock selling was close to about 40, 50 bucks or thereabouts, and now they're going down to about $10 and they're having more problems than anybody else that I know of, even in the consumer goods. How can that be if they're true Six Sigma? How can Motorola be turned around with a Six Sigma and now they're fighting for their life with their competitors? How? Washington Mutual, if I'm not mistaken, they spend millions of dollars in Six Sigma projects and they were belly up. How? If the Six Sigma is the panacea that everybody's talking about. I'm not suggesting that it's not a good system. I'm not suggesting that at all. I never have. I'm just saying that if you stick with it, you have to be committed to follow through with the appropriate measurements, the appropriate studies, and the appropriate results. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. And it doesn't matter if you're using high fluent statistics or basic statistics. About 80% of the problems in real life, in all kinds of manufacturers, they can be solved with the 7 basic tools of quality. And yet, everybody wants to use Minova, and they want to use the Wilks lamp tie and all this stuff. Why? Why is it so necessary? We already know that the majority of the problems are in design. And yet, we don't address the design. We address the issues in manufacturing. Why? What you design is what you get.
That concludes our QCast interview. I'm Maggie McFadden with Quality. For more quality podcasts, visit qualitymag.com. Also look for the Professional of the Year article at qualitymag.com and in Quality's April issue.
This message is brought to you by the 2011 Quality Professional of the Year Award. Nomination forms are due October 1st, 2010. Nominate yourself or a leader in the quality field dedicated to improving processes, reducing costs, and raising quality. Applicants are judged on leadership, achievements, application, service, and awards. Visit qualitymag.com to apply.